First Canto, Chapter 9, Text Number 20. Yang manyase matuleyam priyang mitram surittamam akaro shachivang dutam suridad atasaratim. So we will hear today a wonderful description of Lord Bhishma as he is passing away and lying on his bed of arrows. Lord Krishna appears with the five Pandavas before Bhishma, and Bhishma sees him and is totally in ecstasy, and starts to meditate a little bit about Krishna's personality. So he says here that Lord Krishna has a certain anubhav. Anubhav is when you love someone, and this love becomes expressed in a certain way. For instance, I will see Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma coming down Ritli Straße, that's a street in Switzerland, and I will throw my arms in the air and yell so that the whole of Zurich can hear it. Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma, it is my good fortune to see you. That's one result of feeling affection. You have certain gestures and you say something. Love, in other words, which is there in the heart, becomes manifested in external gestures, activities, and signs. And these signs are called anubhav. So we will hear now how Krishna's love for his devotees, in other words, Krishna's anubhav, becomes manifested. That's the subject matter of this class. Do you feel this is an interesting subject? We want to hear about this. Okay, fine. O king, this is what Bhishma Dev says to Yudhishthira, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Bhishma says, look, there's someone next to you. It's Krishna. You think he is your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, your well-wisher, your counselor, your messenger, etc. But he is really Krishna, and he's only acting like this out of love for you. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, although acting as the cousin, the brother, the friend, the well-wisher, counselor, messenger, etc., of the Pandavas, was still the supreme personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service, but that does not mean that he has changed his position as the absolute person. To think of him as an ordinary man is the grossest type of ignorance. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, anubhavas are usually signs which manifest in a person who is love and who come out especially at a time when the beloved is in a situation which evokes such feelings. I would like to give the example of the love of a mother towards her child. Imagine a little child climbs during a picnic in the mountains, or comes close to what is called an abyss, an abgrund. So the little child, very joyfully feeling secure, mother is nearby, it comes very close to the abyss. The mother's love at that time will all of a sudden become totally drawn out of her. It will be evoked. She will run with the speed of a fast running Arabian horse, you know, so fast, towards the child. She will say, "Oh, my darling boy, don't come close to this dangerous place." And she will quickly come and save the child. So it is very interesting. And she will cry and have the child on her near to her and give him special apples to eat. And you know, what I want to say is the love of the mother, which was previously hidden, comes out like a tempest. Tempest means a storm. And manifests for all to see, and one can see, my God, she loves her child so much. So, believe it or not, Krishna sometimes puts his devotees into apparent tribulations, and at that time, Krishna's love will come out like a storm. Prabhupada writes about these tribulations imposed upon the devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and the devotees. The Lord says, "I put my devotee into difficulty," and thus the devotee becomes more purified in exchanging transcendental bhava with me. Placing the devotee into material trouble necessitates means it makes it necessary, delivering him from the illusory material relations. I would like to give you some examples of how Krishna has put his dearest devotees, the Pandavas, into trouble, and this has evoked his love to the Pandavas term degree, which we can only describe as being extreme. For instance, he arranged that Duryodhana and Dushasan would become so inspired in their hearts that they were wanting to remove the clothes of Draupadi. And at that time, Krishna, who was at in Dwaraka, came running very fast to the place where this was happening, I believe Hastinapur, or outside, a little outside of Hastinapur, to save Draupadi. Krishna ran. Or remember when Arjuna was put so much into trouble by Grandfather Bhishma Dev while fighting in Kurukshetra. At that time, Krishna broke his promise to not fight, and he ran over the battlefield. And it is described that out of loving emotions for his devotees, Krishna's steps were so hard on Mother Earth that she shook. And Krishna was so much in love that at that time, Grandfather Bhishma shot arrows which broke the armor, the Rüstung, of Krishna. But Krishna didn't even notice it. Have you ever fought with armor? When I was a child, I did. And you know, when someone breaks your armor, you usually run to the doctor, because then you get the hits of the, you know, we had this degen, I don't know how you call them, this bayonets, I think. So the armor, this is the worst thing which can happen to you in fighting. Krishna didn't even notice it, and the arrows came and bit into his body, and out of love, he allowed the arrows to draw blood. Krishna was so much, he was thinking, Arjuna, 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 and he ran and so on. His love came out for his devotees, came out like a tempest. I've written another example here. Let me use another example. When the wax house was put into flames by Duryodhana's men, it was a palace made out of wax where the Pandavas resided, and Duryodhana, who always plotted to kill the Pandavas, had just built this house, which was highly Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma, you can maybe help me, it was of a quality which is highly incinerable, or what is the English word, you know, that it burns easily, flammable, thank you, it was highly flammable. And also when Krishna heard this, you know, he had arranged that the Pandavas were warned and they were safe, but when Krishna heard it, he just cried, uncontrollable, how much trouble my devotees have to undergo. So sometimes in the exchange, the Lord will put his devotees into trouble, so that his love for them will come out in very high ways. And Kunti had noticed that and had prayed like this. She understood. Ordinary people don't understand. They think, why is the devotee in trouble? Huh? The devotee should not, Krishna should have have avoided that Draupadi came into this situation. Or he could have easily avoided the situation where Bhishma was attacking Arjuna in a way that Arjuna just couldn't defend himself any longer. Materialist will say, this is a sign that the Lord doesn't care. But transcendentalists know this is a sign that the Lord cares more because his love for his devotees comes out. And Kunti understood this. She's prayed in Canto 1, Chapter 8, Vipada Shantuta Shasvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. I have to sing it a little better. Vipada santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato dashanam yatsyat apuna bhavadashanam. I wish, she says, that all those calamities means unhappy situations, would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. See you in that special way, running to help, you know, with tears in your eyes, tears of love that, wow, and in a storm of love. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Yesterday we talked to the devotees after the program. One very nice devotee said, yesterday the devotee said, I felt so happy in the Krishna Katha that my feeling was that all material desires are now so irrelevant. I do not really think of my material life in Zurich any longer. And no, finished, no desire. Because when we feel how Krishna is there in our life, we just feel almost like the Goswamis who feel material sense gratification is tucha. Tucha means insignificant. When the Lord, especially we feel that, when the Lord shows his love for his devotees. Govalishaya, you were sleeping for a moment. See, and I want to tell you something. Krishna loved the Pandavas so much. He was so much with the Pandavas because they were constantly getting into difficulties, and Krishna constantly felt, wow, I love them so much, I have to be close to them. He loved them so much. He had 16,000 most beautiful queens in Dwaraka, but the queens would complain. He's always in Hastinapur with the Pandavas. He's never at home. The sages and the rishis have beautiful ashrams in the forest, but also they knew that Krishna always stays with his Pandavas, whom he loves so much. So they left the beautiful places, serene places, nice rivers, good fragrance of nature, and came into the capital town, Hastinapur. That was like New York of America. And they stayed near the palace of Yudhishthira to just catch a glimpse of Krishna, who was dealing affectionately with the Pandavas. You know, Krishna loved the Pandavas so much because of their undivided surrender to them. You must know that the Pandavas loved Krishna so much that Yudhishthira thought the garlands which he wore and the golden ornaments were heavy weight when he could not see Krishna. He thought, this is a burden for me. In other words, he didn't like material opportunities for for pleasure. He only wanted to be with Krishna. He didn't like his position as a king when Krishna was not there. And Krishna saw that, and he was therefore bound to the love of the Pandavas. So much so that he responded to them. The Pandavas thought, he's our maternal cousin. Kunti, let me say, Kunti was related to Vasudev. Oh, Krishna, I'm so bad in family relationships. I think she was the sister. Was it his sister? Someone knows Bhagavati? Sagst du das aus Höflichkeit oder aus Wissen? Wie bitte? I also remember that she was the sister of Vasudev. Yeah, that is what it means. The maternal cousin. And therefore, Krishna, who was a son of Vasudev, was related to the sister of Vasudev. That this is meine Tante, richtig, Auntie. And she would say, my cousin, you know. Something like that. I hope it's right, because I can't give my life force for this, but I remember it like this. Anyways, there was a family relationship. That was is clear. And therefore, Krishna was like the cousin. And the Pandava thought of Krishna as a very dear friend. The word here is called Surit Taman, an ardent, it's a different word. Priyam Mitram, a very dear friend. Priya, you know, yesterday we sang Priyo Krishna, Priya Radhe. Priyo Krishna, Priya Radhe, my dear Krishna, my dear Radhe, very dear, is what this means. So therefore, Krishna would sometimes act as a messenger. Once there was a discussion, Krishna and Balaram were discussing with Yudhishthira, let's avoid the war. The other side wants to bring us onto the war field, but let's avoid the war. Someone should go as a messenger to Duryodhana. So Krishna, this is what Balaram said, you know, Duryodhana had some relationship to Balaram. So Balaram said, let's avoid the war. Please, let us avoid the war. So Krishna stood there, and in front of his elder brother, Krishna was always very modest. He would not speak unless Balaram told him to speak. So Krishna was just, let's avoid the war. Then Yudhishthira said, Balaram, you go as a messenger and be this messenger. And you go. Krishna was just very silent. Balaram thought about it and said, no, I can't go. Krishna is more modest than me. He's more soft-spoken. When I see that the other party does not follow my advice, I get temperamental, you know, I get intense. And we know, once Balaram went as a messenger to Hastinapur, and Duryodhana and his party said something foolish. Balaram had said, give back Shamba to Krishna, he's Krishna's son. And Duryodhana said, who's this Krishna? I don't feel obliged to bring back his son. You know, he tried to steal my daughter. I keep him a prisoner. Balaram said, you asked who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the powerful devatas serve him. How could you ever ask such a question? Here, bang, and he put his plow into the earth, and he started to pull all of Hastinapur into the Ganga. This is how angry Balaram can get. Balaram said to Krishna at this occasion, I cannot tolerate sinful people, but you can tolerate. You are very kind. They are all your devotees, you know, and you just are so kind to your devotees. I'm not good as a messenger. I blew it already when I came to Hastinapur once. You go, Krishna. And then Krishna went and as a peace messenger for the Pandavas. Just see. He said, Balaram said, I can't tolerate anyone with sinful behavior. If they don't accept what I say, I will destroy them. Therefore, Krishna, you better go as a peace messenger. So, and it was Krishna who took up the role as a charioteer, you know, Parthasarathi, for Arjuna. You know what a charioteer has to do? He has to make good mood for the horses, that they feel well taken care of. He has to feed the horses. Krishna decorated the horses. He brought them out of the barn and he tied them to Arjuna's chariot. In this way, Krishna's anubhav to his devotees, his feelings of love to his devotees, comes out and came out in the case of the Pandavas, where he did everything for the Pandavas, becoming the messenger, the charioteer, the dear friend, the counselor, the well-wisher, everything he did for his devotees, serving them left and right. Now I want to ask you the question. Does this make Krishna anything less? When Krishna works with the horses who smell and who are sometimes moody, they throw their horses and Krishna is there with them, taking care of them. When Arjuna, in the midst of the battle, needs to direct Krishna, puts his foot on his shoulders and moves his right foot, meaning right, right, fast, left, fast. And when Krishna gets down after the battle, first from the chariot and holds Arjuna's hand to help him, he's dressed in all this heavy armor, you know, and helps him down. Does this make Krishna less? Bhagavatam says he is in everyone's heart, and he is, what is it here? He remains equal and certainly unchanged by everything he does. I want to ask you a question. When a crow sits on the golden Sumeru mountain, like a king sits on the throne, and Garuda sits on the ground at the bottom of the Sumeru mountain, does this mean the crow is higher and Garuda is lower? What is your estimation? It certainly doesn't make this. So when Krishna does all these things in which he shows his anubhav to his devotees, it does not make him lower. It makes him higher. I told the devotees in our Radha Sharanagatika, non Nishinga Chaturdasi, that meant at 5 minutes past nine in the evening, when the day met the night. You know, that is when this meeting takes place, then the Lord appears. Huh? I told them that once the emperor, Akbar, was asking his Hindu minister, what type of God do you worship? He appears just for one devotee. He could have sent someone to take care of the situation. This Hindu minister was very, very intelligent. He said, I can't answer you today. Tomorrow you will get your answer. So every morning, the emperor would leave his desk, his political desk, and go out on the balcony. And at that time, a caretaker would come with a little grandson of the emperor and would bring him on a morning walk. So this time, Akbar came out and the caretaker came. He had a little grandson in the arm. All of a sudden, this crazy caretaker starts to run, take the grandson and throw it in a pond to drown him. Akbar sees all this. No, he jumps down from the balcony. You know, he's a warrior. He jumps down for two stories. And he runs to the pond, jumps into the pond to save his drowning grandson. When he arrives there, he sees it's only a puppet. He's totally bewildered. What is going on? He swims out with the puppet. And at that moment he sees the Hindu minister coming with his little grandson, and the minister said, I just wanted to give you the answer. Did you wait when you saw your grandson was dying? You jumped down two stories. You ran and you jumped with your good clothes into the pond. Look how you see, look like an idiot. Does this make you less? It makes you more. It shows that you love your grandson. This is an anubhav. It has come out of you. So this was when Krishna's love for his devotees shows, my dear devotees, this is his greatest attribute. You should not have any doubt that this is something less wonderful. It is more wonderful. It is most wonderful. And you should take courage, how Balaram speaks to Krishna. I'm not good as a peace messenger. You go. Because I just can't tolerate, you know. But you tolerate everyone. You are better than me in this, you know. So this is Krishna. It's very kindness. So I wanted to just talk about these subject matters. I'm at the moment privately reading the passing away of Grandfather Bhishma Dev, and so many wonderful subjects come out. Also, I find in Prabhupada's purpose, he explains these things. It's very, very nice. He says, tribulations offered by the Lord to his devotee are different from the tribulations resulting from sinful action. All these glory, because he does this to, and then he brings out his love, and then his love comes out. All these glories of the Lord are especially known to the great Mahajans, like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara and Bhishma, as mentioned above. And one is able to grasp it by their grace, only by their mercy you can understand these glories of Krishna. Anubhavam, his glories. That although he is the most powerful, he likes very much to manifest his love for his devotees. He very much likes to do this. That's him. He is a loving God. Yesterday I talked to another devotee, a little older devotee, and also wonderful devotee. And that devotee said to me, "I can never forget Krishna. I come from the Catholic background. But God is not so loving, the Catholic God, and I therefore did not feel particularly attracted to that understanding of God. But Krishna, oh, I'm so attracted to Krishna. I cannot forget. It's very deep in my heart." This older devotee explained to me, and I thought very nice about it. Hare Krishna. So I want to thank our Bhagavati for arranging such a nice program. We should really arrange more programs like this, where the glories of Krishna, especially in relationship to Vrindavan, comes out. Especially that glories, we want to glorify Krishna like this and feel happy in Krishna consciousness by this. All right, I want to end here. Do you have any questions regarding these subjects? Krishna, Krishna. Kovalishaya Vishvakama Prabhu.
I cited one quotation in the reference that when such tribulations are there, it's not due to their sinful
reaction.
As a neophyte devotee, does that apply, or is that for the Mahajan?
Yeah, that's a very good question, which our Kuvalishaya puts. I would like to repeat it for the recording. Kuvalishaya says that we heard a quote from Srila Prabhupada that these tribulations in which the devotees are put are not due to the sinful acts. They are not karmic results, in other words, or karmic reactions. No, Krishna puts the devotees in such problems. Does this refer only to the great devotees, the Mahajans, these exalted devotees like the Pandavas, or does it also apply to a devotee who is not on that level? And the answer to your question, it's a very deep question, and you will need to listen now very carefully to understand it. It's mixed. A Krishna takes that karma which is still there within his devotee and monitors it. Monitors means he directs it in a special way so that special circumstances come in which both happen. The karma, but also the touch of Krishna is there. There are token reactions, and he just takes the karma and makes it educative karma, you know, that you can learn something, which brings you closer to Krishna consciousness when you take shelter. This is a very wonderful action of the Lord. He is, in other words, also willing to be close to his devotee, to deal with his devotee who still has some karma. And therefore, the sufferings of a devotee, a young devotee, are very different. They are, Prabhupada once said, it's Krishna karma. You know, it's specially treated. you know, therefore works differently. We know in food processing, you can treat, yesterday we ate roots. Roots, this was the first time in my life where I ate roots. Wurzeln, also, they were imported from India, and they were roots, and these roots were treated in a special way that they became very tasty. Now, I had a root, you know, one part of my root was not, it somehow stuck out of the pot and therefore was not cooked and not treated, and I ate it and it was tasting. I mean, I didn't want to show my face to my hosts, you know. I looked in the other direction, you know. So, but the roots which were treated tasted very nice. So it's like this with our karma. When Krishna touches it and gives it to us, it tastes very good. But if it's untreated, it tastes like toothache, you know. Hare Krishna. That's how I understand this. So Krishna's care is also there for us. And I think we want to hear that. We need to hear this. Otherwise our life is gloomy. Gloomy means finster. Oder trübe. Another question. Thank you, this was a wonderful question. Kuvalishai Vishwakama. Very sincere question. Then, finished. Hogya, done our class. I want to thank you very much for coming, giving me an opportunity to speak. I just read from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, when the weather is bad, that is not a bad day for me. A bad day for me is when I cannot speak about Krishna. He said like this. He said like this. I read this yesterday. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. No.